You know, there's just so much in this text, that second chapter of Matthew, the prophecies that are fulfilled, the story of Jesus and the family immigrating to Egypt and then living there as aliens and then being brought back into their homeland of Israel. There's so much there, but I decided as I was thinking about this morning's message to focus on the fact that we are on the first day of Epiphany. It's not always that Epiphany, which is happens on the 13th day after Christmas, there's the 12 days of Christmas in the church year, that it always falls on a Sunday, January 6th, but that is the case today. And so that's where I wanted to go this morning with the message. Today, in fact, is, as I've mentioned, the beginning of Epiphany. Epiphany means appearance. It means something new has been revealed. And in the church, it means that God himself, in a totally new way, has revealed himself through the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ. Epiphany in the church also means that this new revelation is not just for the Jews, but indeed it is for the whole world. And that's what we see in this text. That's why the text of the coming of the Magi from the book of Matthew is selected often for reading on the day of Epiphany. Now, how many Magi were there? That's always a good question, right? Ainsley, how many Magi? How many wise men? Three. How many of you think it was three? Most of us. Well, if you do think it was three, you have good company. That's been the story of the church, the history of the church's tradition for a number of years, but the Bible really doesn't say. Could have been two, could have been six. Early on in the church's history, they said there were 12 Magi, 12 wise men, but the church sort of landed on three because of the three gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. We don't really know how many wise men came. But more important than the number of wise men was who they were. Again, we don't know a whole lot about them, but we know this. We know that they were Gentiles. They were not Jewish. That's important because what Matthew means to communicate here and what the coming of the wise men illustrates is that the gospel is for everyone. It's for the whole world. And so even these who were not of the chosen people of Israel come to worship the king that has been born in Bethlehem. Now, it's quite possible that these were priests of what was known as the Zoroastrian religion that was practiced in parts of what was the Babylonian and Persian Empire. Now that is modern-day Iran. They were likely men of holiness, men of wisdom. Also quite likely that they were astrologers, those who studied the stars in the heavens for messages and wisdom from their God. Now some scholars, some who have studied this text quite a bit, have speculated that because the Jews had spent some time in Babylon during the Babylonian exile, that these wise men may have had access, these many years later, to the Hebrew scriptures from those Jews who were in exile in Babylon. We don't know. But whoever they were, and however many of them there were, they have some important lessons to teach us in regards to seeking Christ in this new year. Patty. There we go. So this is a painting of a small boy opening, as you can tell, a rather large door. I love this picture because the doors sort of remind me of our sanctuary doors, don't they, you, a little bit? Well, another reason I love this picture is that it was painted by a covenant pastor. A pastor by the name of Randy Clausen painted this, and he entitled the painting, "To Such Belongs the Kingdom of God." The kingdom is for all. Now the doors dwarf the boy as he peeks into the opening. So on this first Sunday in 2019, I want us together to think about what lies behind those doors in the painting. I want you to think about that in terms of what lies ahead of you in this new year. Now, as you think about the year to come, you may find yourself a little anxious, maybe a little worried or a little overwhelmed. Maybe as you come to this place today, you have concerns about your career, where it's heading or where it's not heading, or knowing what to do with that. Maybe you're feeling some of the pressures of, for some of our younger folk in the church, of kind of moving up into high school, what that's going to mean and what that's going to look like, or some of the pressures of getting into college. Maybe this year, as you look at the doors and you think what the doors hold beyond them in the new year, you're uncertain about a change in job or a change in address. Or you have concerns or fears about one's health or about the health of those that you love and care about. All of these things, and a lot of other ones, at the threshold of a new year can make us want to kind of keep the door shut and sort of just let time stand still, right? But of course, we can't do that. And I think this painting encourages us to trust that no matter what the year holds, no matter what is behind the doors, that we will discover, as this little boy is discovering, that behind those doors is the beckoning presence, the inviting presence of Jesus. And I want to just put before us all this morning that these wise men, these magi, show us how we should approach this new year if we want to experience the life that lies behind those doors in the presence of Christ's light. And since today is the first day of Epiphany, and since I really like it when things I want to remember start with the same letter, I want to just lift up for us today three things the wise men did that we would all do well to do, and they all start with the letter E, Epiphany. And all three of these things start with the letter E. And so, children and those of you who are extra hungry today, if you can tell me after the service what all three of the E's are, special treat for you, okay? You'll just need to see me after worship. First one, we would do well to follow the wise men into this new year eager to worship. Eager to worship. Now, you clearly hear how the eagerness of these wise men to worship the Lord in verse 2 of our text. They talk about they're seeking the one who has been born, the King of the Jews. They're looking intently for him. And they've traveled a long time at great expense and great effort and great distance to find him. And their eagerness is expressed in the gifts that they gave. These were great gifts of value in the ancient world. Which leads me to this question. And we sang about it in one of the songs right before the message today. What will you give of value this year that expresses your eagerness to worship God? What will you give of value this year that expresses your eagerness to worship God? Will you change your routine to prioritize a little bit of time spent daily with God and weekly in worship with others? You know, the wise men eagerly sought Jesus and worshiped him. And there's a wonderful contrast, sad actually, between them and the other human folks in this story. when Herod hears the message about Jesus having come, or about this king being born, his reaction is one of hatred and hostility. And one of the most tragic instances around the birth of Christ is recorded in Matthew's gospel, the slaughter of the innocents. The chief priest and the teachers of the law, their reaction was largely one of indifference. Oh, yeah, prophet said Bethlehem. That's where it is. But there's no recording of them seeking out Jesus. So Herod is hatred and hostility. The prophets are the teachers of the law. Theirs is one of indifference. But it's the wise men who are eager to worship God, eager to find the Christ child. How will you be eager as you go into this new year to express your worship to God? What will you give in order to prioritize that in your daily life? I think we have a lot to learn from these wise men in that regard. The second thing that we can learn from them is we would do well to follow the wise men by keeping our eyes on Christ, keeping our eyes on Christ in our daily lives. Now, the wise men did that by following the star that led them to Jesus. You see that in verses 2 and in verses 9 and 10. They were not distracted by all the other stars in the heavens. There are a lot of stars, right, in our lives, competing for our attention, for our affection. A lot of things that pull and call to us, some good, some not so good. The question is, how can we order all of these things in our lives, all of these minor stars around Christ, the one that Revelation describes in the 22nd chapter in the 16th verse as the bright morning star? I have just a couple of simple suggestions that I've been trying to live into, particularly over this last year. And that is to be intentional about seeing and starting each day as a gift from God. My practice has been a simple prayer, and children, Greta was talking to you a little earlier this morning about prayers don't need to be elaborate. They can be just simple conversations with God. I try to say to God intentionally every day, thank you for the promise that this day holds for me. And that sort of sets my mind in a good place to see the gift of the day and the promise that it is, and to look for things that God, and look for ways that God may show up in that day. There's an ancient spiritual practice that you do at the end of the day that can also sort of bookend that, is to ask yourself that simple question at the end of the day, where did God show up for me? Where did I notice God at work in my life or in my interactions with others? In something I heard on the radio or something that I experienced in my life that day. To book in the day with a simple prayer of openness and a closing prayer of reflection might be a way to help us keep our eyes on the star, the main star, which is Jesus. The wise men, when they saw the star stop over the place where the child was, where the text tells us, they were overwhelmed with joy. And when we discover and put into practice ways that increase our awareness of Christ's presence in our daily lives, we too will be surprised by joy, by how God shows up, by where He is working in our everyday lives. They were eager to worship. They kept their eyes on Christ, and finally, they kept their ears open to the Holy. I know, a little bit of a stretch, right? Eager eyes, ears. But they did. They kept their ears open to the Holy Spirit. You hear that in verse 12 of the text. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way. Think about the risk that involved for those wise men. Herod's the king. of that region anyway. He had told them, you come back, you report to me. But they didn't listen to power. They listened to the Holy Spirit, the greater power. And he said, no, you go back by another way. You don't go back to Herod. They took a risk to go against the norm, to go against what was expected, to resist as they did these wise men, principalities, and powers. So daily choosing to follow Jesus, to have your ear to the Holy Spirit, and to love others as Jesus does, is to go against the grain. That's countercultural. It will bring opposition from the world. It's sort of how we go home by another way. One of my favorite authors is a fellow by the name of Mike Iaconelli. He wrote a book several years ago entitled Dangerous Wonder. And he describes this life of having our ears open to the Holy Spirit in this way. This is how he says, it's what he says it looks like. It is a one day at a time, ordinary, unspectacular following. A daily act of fearlessness that takes us through the most frightening and rugged terrain to a place of peace, a place of joy, and a place of abandon. It's a life that goes against conventional wisdom, against the powers that be, and breaks the rules and conventions of the world. It chooses love of Christ above all else. No one knows what this coming year holds for you and for me. But we will discover light beyond the doors, like this small boy, if we are eager to worship, if we keep our eyes on Christ, and if our ears are open and our lives are obedient to the Holy Spirit. As the old Christian song reminds us, we do not need to fear tomorrow or borrow its care, because the one who holds it in his hand has already journeyed there. Thanks be to God.